today, Dolores and I want to share with you, when worn out by waiting on God. When worn out by waiting on God. About 800 or 900 years before Jesus came to earth, a man named Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, invaded Israel. He mobilized his entire army and laid siege to a city named Samaria. Samaria was located about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. It was the capital city at that time of the country of Israel. And Ben-Hadad laid siege to this city for years and years. But Elisha the prophet also lived in Samaria. And he encouraged King Joram, "King, don't surrender to the enemy, but wait on the Lord." And so Joram took the prophet's words and waited on the Lord, but the siege became more and more severe. There was a great famine in the city of Samaria. People actually began eating one another. Parents began eating their children. As the severity of the famine increased day by day, moment by moment, the Bible says that a donkey's head was sold for 2 pounds of silver. Can you imagine that? A donkey's head for 2 pounds of silver and a half a pint of seed pods for 2 ounces of silver. In other words, money was losing meaning as the severity of the horrible famine became worse. Well, finally, the day came when the king said to Elisha, "Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" His waiting on the Lord had worn him out. He was literally worn out by waiting, and so he said, "Elisha, why should I wait on the Lord any longer?" Well, have you ever felt that way? Maybe you're believing God for the salvation of your family, for a new job, for changing your health. And some days you just think, "I don't want to wait any longer. I'm tired of waiting. I can't afford to wait any longer." Well, today, let's go to the Word. And let's see what we do when we feel worn out by waiting on the Lord. Whenever you feel this way, God will renew your energy to wait on the Lord. God will always come through for us whenever we are worn out by waiting on Him. The act of waiting on the Lord exhausted King Joram's energy, his emotional and his physical energy, just like it affects you and me the same way. Some days you just want to throw up your hands and say, "God has walked off from me. He's through with me. He's not acting on my behalf anymore." Well, this is just because life's problems fill our thoughts with impossibilities and crowd out thoughts about the Lord. Whenever life's problems is hanging on and on and on and there's no answer to prayer, we become simply saturated with thoughts about impossibilities, and we think very little about the Lord. But you know, God's so good. As Joram staggered under the heavy weight of doubt, God sent his word to the king. The king was staggering under the weight of doubt and of the fatigue of waiting on God, but God, instead of forsaking him, sent his encouraging word. Listen to what Elisha says, 2 Kings 7:1.
"Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria."
The Lord spoke to Joram. "This is what the Lord said," Elisha reported. And God began speaking these encouraging words to the king. You see, brother, sister, that's the way God is. Whenever we are struggling with doubt, whenever we're worn out with waiting on the Lord, He comes to rescue us. That's His compassionate nature. God isn't in the business of forsaking the weak. He is in the business of strengthening the weak. So, brother, sister, please keep those eyes up on the Lord. This word God spoke to King Joram through Elisha the prophet renewed the king's energy to wait. Let's read about the effect of God's word on us. Psalm 19, verse number 7.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
Did you hear that? The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, it is perfect. And what does it do to the soul? It says it revives the soul. Revives means to enliven, to bring new life, new energy, new strength. And so that's what God wants to do for you and me. He speaks to us through His word whenever we are just absolutely worn out with waiting on Him. Sometimes He uses the Bible to speak to us, and sometimes He just speaks to us through our spirit. I recall after moving to Corpus Christi to start a new church, several years we had tried starting the church, and it had grown some, but not a lot. We had begun the church in a Corpus Christi athletic club, then we moved to a restaurant banquet room, and then into a professional building. And one day I was in my backyard spending some time with the Lord. That's my private prayer room. My favorite prayer room is my backyard, and I was downhearted. The church wasn't responding. It wasn't growing as fast as I thought it should. And as I was feeling these words and thoughts of discouragement, the Lord spoke to me very plainly. I felt these words in my spirit. It's no time to use your head. It's no time to use your head. And I realized that I was disobeying Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You see, I was leaning to my own understanding. I was trying to figure things out with my head instead of believing God with my heart. And the Lord graciously energized me by speaking His word to me. Now let's go to the New Testament. One of my favorite verses is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're just going to take a part of this verse, but listen to what it says about the effect of God's word upon us.
The word of God is at work in you who believe.
What is the word of God doing? It's at work. It isn't like an algebra book or an English book or an American history book. It's active. It's alive. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that it is at work in you who believe. So, brother, sister, God is there to give His word to us, His uplifting word, His energizing word, whenever we are ready to give up. So, brother, sister, don't give up. Joram wanted to quit waiting on the Lord. But God committed Himself to re-energizing the king. God wanted to re-energize the king so that the king would not quit waiting. Listen to these words. Isaiah 40, verse number 31.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Let's read the first part again, Dee.
Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
That's what God intends for you. In fact, He commits Himself to pouring new strength into you and me whenever we have had it with believing the Lord or trying to believe God. He's there with His Word, with His Spirit to lift us up, to give us new hope, to give us fresh energy. And so this day, many years ago, when Joram was saying, why should I wait on the Lord any longer? God sent His prophet Elisha. And Elisha said, Joram, this is what the Lord says. And Joram continued waiting on the Lord to send victory when victory looked absolutely impossible. Joram's decision to wait freed God to work in his behalf. Same thing is going to happen to you. Whenever we decide to wait on God, then God goes to work in our behalf. Let's read Isaiah 64, verse number 4. Beautiful little verse.
God acts on behalf of those who wait for Him.
What does God do for those who wait for Him? It says, He acts on behalf of us. So you always win whenever you decide to continue waiting on the Lord, resting in God, trusting Him, even when things, instead of improving, grow worse. In fact, here's what God did for Joram. Now remember, the city of Samaria has been under siege for months, perhaps years. Food is running out. Cannibalism is taking place. People are selling a donkey's head for 2 pounds of silver. I mean, it could hardly be worse. But here's what God did for Joram after Joram continued waiting on the Lord. 2 Kings, please. Chapter 7, verse number 6 and 7. 2 Kings 7, verse 6 and 7.
The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives.
God honored Joram's faith. God honored the king's determination to wait on the Lord. And God sent an angelic army and opened the ears of King Ben-Hadad's army. They heard the onrushing army, and they concluded that the king of Israel had hired the Egyptian and Hittite kings. Panic filled the army, and they ran headlong. They left their camp just as it was. They left all the food, all the tents, all the animals tied to the pegs. They fled, and God brought about a tremendous victory, an impossible victory for Joram and the citizens of Samaria because the king waited on the Lord. Remember again, Isaiah 64:4, God acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. Let me share with you another verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 49, verse 23. Real long verse, but the last part of it says, I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Isn't that great? I am the Lord. He's lifting our eyes to Him and saying, I am the Lord. Don't worry about what you aren't. Don't worry about what you cannot do. I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. When we feel worn out by waiting on the Lord, God is with us, and He is there to renew our energy, to renew our determination, to renew our strength, to continue waiting on the Lord. But secondly, whenever we are worn out by waiting on the Lord, God strengthens our grip on Him. God strengthens our grip on Him. Now let's read again. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1. Here's Elisha speaking to King Joram.
Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says.
There it is. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Joram was ready to walk away from both God's promises and God's person. Now notice that. Joram was ready to throw overboard his faith in God's promises and his faith in God's person. That's the danger of walking away from his promises, because you cannot walk away from his promises and not walk away from his person. Well, God wanted to be valued above everything else. God wants to be valued supremely, unconditionally. That's what it means when it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and strength. That's the most important command in the Word of God, because it's the most valued thing God wants. He wants our unconditional love. He wants our love for Him to be supreme above everything else in our lives. So, whenever Joram was ready to walk away from God and His promises, God appealed to Joram. Hold on to me. And brother, sister, that's what He's appealing to all of us. Sure, we believe that God answers prayer. The Bible over and over and over encourages us to believe that God is a prayer-answering God. But whenever He doesn't answer prayer the way we expected or the way we wished, what do? We determine to hold on to the Lord. You see, God is more important than His promises. Now, let me repeat that. God's person is more important than His promises. I know there have been times in my life whenever I so wanted to see His promises come to pass. I wanted to see answers to prayer, answers to requests. I wanted to see God change me or my circumstances or circumstances for others. But when things didn't happen the way I expected, I sometimes loosened my grip on the Lord. But one day it came to me, the first and greatest commandment in the Bible, according to Jesus, is love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The first and greatest commandment in the Bible is not to believe God for this answer or that answer. The first and greatest commandment is not to see miracles, signs, and wonders. The first and greatest commandment in the Word is to love God with everything we are. So, whenever we start feeling worn out by waiting on God, it is time for us to strengthen our grip on God. When you feel worn out, let go of the promise and hold on to the promise giver. When you feel worn out by waiting on God, let go of the promise and hold on to the promise giver. That's what God wants. Over and over in Scripture, we see God dealing with people like Moses and Jeremiah, with the apostles. They wanted to hold on to the promise. They loved the promise. They valued the promise. They cherished the promise. But when things didn't happen the way they expected, they grew cold in their love for God. But God said, please, I'm what life is all about. I am what life is all about. And even when things don't turn out the way you expect, I should still be your supreme value, your supreme longing and dream. Let's go to Psalm 73, verse number 25.
Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing or desire besides you.
There it is. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you. You see, this man was expressing his total love for God. What we love, we cherish. What we love, we treasure. And so, whenever we feel that We're worn out by loving God's promises. We need to let go of the promises and say, God, I can't explain why my prayer isn't answered. I cannot understand why things haven't improved. But this one thing I know, God, you are number one in my life. And even if things never improve, even if my life situation deteriorates, you're going to be number one in my life, Jesus. Let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8.
I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord.
What was the surpassingly great desire? To know Christ Jesus my Lord. He considered everything else loss. Unanswered prayer, disappointed expectations, meant nothing to Paul. Jesus meant everything. So, you see, whenever we are willing to let go of the promise and cling ever more tightly to the promise giver, then our relationship with the Lord benefits from waiting on God. Our relationship with the Lord benefits from waiting on God. If waiting on God strengthens our commitment to Jesus, our love for Him, our dedication to Him as a person, and our dedication to His will, then waiting on God is worth it. In fact, brother, sister, what we really want in life is an ever-deepening, ever-widening, ever-growing love for Jesus Christ. So, our relationship with the Lord benefits from waiting. You become a one-desire lover of God. Whenever you continue waiting on the Lord and trust Him to energize your relationship with Him, then you become a one-desire lover of God. And that's what we want. Let's read Psalm 27, verse number 4.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple.
Now we're going to read this again because it so beautifully describes the heart we want for God. Let's read the first part of the.
One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek.
One thing. One thing only do I ask of the Lord. And this is what I seek. This is my hunger, my thirst, my desire, my ambition, my dream. And that is to love the Lord. Let's read it.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple.
That's what we want, Jesus. That's what we want. We want Jesus filling our hearts with that kind of overwhelming desire for Him. So you see, God actually used the delay in answered prayer to build relationship with King Joram. He'll do the same thing in you and me. Everything God allows in our lives benefits us. Everything God causes to happen in our lives benefits us. God is out for our benefit. That's the nature of love. You live for the life of the loved one. And so, brother, sister, waiting on God is not always fun. As we saw here in the situation with King Joram, it was difficult. It was heart-wrenching to see his city deteriorate into chaos, starvation. And yet, Elisha said, King, the Lord sends His word to you. Keep waiting. So the reward for waiting on the Lord is not just an answer to prayer. The reward for waiting on the Lord is new energy in our spirits and a new devotion to loving Jesus. Well, let's go ahead and let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 7. And let's see what God did for King Joram and the citizens of Samaria. 2 Kings 7, verse 16.
Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of flour sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said.
The people were starving. They were buying a donkey's head for 2 pearls of silver. They were buying a half a pint of seed pod for 2 ounces of silver. They were practicing cannibalism. And yet, when the enemy army lifted its siege and ran headlong away from the city, the citizens of Samaria flooded out the city gates of the city, and there they found the enemy camp deserted, full of food, full of supplies. And the Bible says that now you could buy 2 gallons of flour for 2/5 of an ounce of silver. Instead of 2 pounds of silver, you could buy, for less than a half an ounce of silver, 2 gallons of flour or 3 gallons of barley. The people went from starvation to overflowing plenty. God rescued them. God gave them total abundance because King Joram had waited on the Lord. So, brother, sister, that's just a picture, a word picture of what God intends to do for you, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, in every way. He intends better than the best and more than the most for those who wait for Him. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and strengthen every one of us, Lord, to continue waiting patiently for Your deliverance. In the name of Jesus, amen.